Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to A Team of Voices, Down the Tube, Really Random Stuff with me, Sky Darkholm. And tonight we are, of course, talking about some really random stuff here, focusing on survival facts. Team of Voices is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com where you can join in the fun. Free to join. You just knock on the door, and you can see the links to the poems on the board. Get involved with the many shows that we have here, many different topics and contests and so many things they got going into there. And, of course, it is run by Deborah Lee. Thank you, Deborah Lee, for running it. And supported by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. Thank you. And I don't know. I think that's everything I have to say, right? It's different. It's different here. We do have two callers already on the line. So in order of caller, hello, Raconteur.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm surprised you didn't have me on mute because, you know, the songs like that, you don't want to sing along.
I did. I almost did. And you know, I usually put in new songs every week. I mean, every week, every month when I do the show. But I keep the old ones that I've done in the past. And I was really feeling CCR today, which we will talk about in one moment. But I want to say hi. I think that you could have sang along. I wouldn't have been offended. I think that we could have just had a sing-along, and it would have been fine. Yeah. We also have, of course, Hatter. Hello, Hatter.
Hello, Sky.
Were you going to sing along, too?
Say that again?
Were you gonna sing along, too? Were you feeling like singing along? Did you put yourself on mute and sing, or what?
I muted my own phone. I actually was.
Okay, so next time I'm going to give a delay, and I'm going to say, all you folks out there listening on the phone, if you want to sing along to the opening song, feel free. Oh, my God. It's just one of those songs that you just...
It really is.
I have a lot of energy. I have a lot of energy right now. So when I was looking through my list, I'm like, yeah, I can jam out to this. All right, so Creedence Clearwater Revival, let's talk about them for a minute. I'm closing out with them as well. And they're commonly abbreviated as CCR. They were an American rock band formed in Cerrito, California. The band initially consisted of lead vocalist, lead guitarist, and primary songwriter John Forgetti. His brother, rhythm guitarist Tom. Oh, what is it? Fogerty. Oh my goodness. Bassist Stu Cook and drummer Doug Clifford. These members had played together since 1959, first as the Blue Velvets and later as the Gollywogs, before settling on Creedence Clearwater Revival in 1967. I think they got it right the last time. The band's most prolific and successful period was between 1969 and 1971. They produced 14 consecutive top 10 singles, many of which were double A-sides, and 5 consecutive top 10 albums in the United States, two of which Green River and Cosmos Factory reached number one. The band performed at the 1969 Woodstock Festival and upstate New York and was the first major act signed to appear there. And my mother, the lovely woman she is, who told me the sad story, oh, I've never been to a concert. And I was like, oh, you've never been to a concert? No, not really. Okay. So I took her to go see, Frankie Valli, who, by the way, was 84 and amazing. But I took her to go see Frankie Valli, and I'm like all proud. This is my mom's first concert. Da, 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 da. Come to find out, she went to Woodstock. I'm like, Mom, that's a concert. She's like, well, no, it's not. It's outside. It's not like a real concert. I'm like, it's a concert. I'm like, it's a concert, Ma. And then she starts, yes, my mom was born in 49. So she's 73 now, and she went to Woodstock, and she's like, oh, yeah, I've seen Janis, and I've seen who, all this and that, and I'm like, Ma, you told me you never went to a concert, and you've seen Janis Joplin live? Yeah. And her boyfriend, I'm like, oh, my God. And then she turns around and says, oh, well, I've seen Sonny and Cher at Cannibal Lake. I'm like, what do you mean you've seen Sonny and Cher? Well, I used to work at Cannibal Lake, and they had all the singers come. That was, like, the big thing back then. I'm like, Ma, that's a concert. No, they were just singing outside. I'm like, no. She's like, oh, okay. Come to And she met Jerry Lee Lewis. She said he wasn't very nice, though. She said he was not nice. In his defense, she knocked on his hotel door. He was worried that people, oh, my God, people are going to know where I am now. So, I mean, I really can't blame him. But she didn't get an autograph because he was quite upset that she found his. I'm like, what are you doing knocking on Jerry Lee Lewis's hotel door, Ma?
He wouldn't get an autograph, so I stole his welcome mat.
Oh my God. Yeah. So yeah. So well, and I only knew this and I only found her out because she's wearing this Woodstock t-shirt and we're walking out of like a Rite Aid and this guy goes, oh yeah, I was there, and then my mom was like, yeah, it was so much fun, and I'm like, what?
Anyway.
Lucy, you got some explaining to do.
I know. So I want to know, how are your guys' weeks going? How's your life?
How my what?
Quiet.
How's your life?
My week?
How's it going? Yeah.
Well, life sucks.
Anything exciting?
Life sucks.
Okay.
Well, I'm alone for a week.
Okay.
My roommate's camping.
You what?
So I'm here alone. My roommate is camping in the mountains.
Oh, okay.
That's
well,
intense.
I'm excited for them. That's intense. Actually, I'm going camping. So on a poetic slice of life, there's no show next week because I was supposed to be camping. But my campsite got flooded out because I don't know if you heard, but New Hampshire is underwater. There is so much rain here. Hatter, I'm going to send you some pictures. Our roads are knocked out. The water took apart pieces of the road. And waterfalls are going, and I live in a really lakey, woodsy area. The waterfalls going right over all the bypass, like all the roads, wiping away the cement. And I live outside a waterfall, and it's like a double stone arch bridge, and the water is practically, I'll put a picture in there. It's practically touching the bridge. And all I want to do is go kayaking, and it's rained every day for the past 2 weeks.
I saw the special on TV before the show. Before the show, they had a special flash news thing on New Hampshire and all the water.
I've never seen this much water. Whole roads are shut down where I am. I can't even get into the next town over because there's so much water. And my friend lives in that town, and I'm like, I'm not driving over there. Sorry, you're gonna have to come to me if you want.
You got a kayak?
Yeah, there's so. I'll tell you what, that's the big joke, right? The big joke is I've been complaining. I almost said the B word. I have been complaining. I almost said a low word. It rhymes with itching. But I have been complaining because I feel like I've been kayaking once since summer hit because it's been thunderstorms and rain every day, except for tomorrow, knock on wood. I'll be out all day kayaking. It's the only nice day in the next 10 days. But, yeah, I've never seen so much water in my life. All my friends are posting their houses. Their whole front yards are swamps. They're just all flooded over. It's crazy. Yeah. So our topic, is how to survive,
Supercell or something,
right?
In the foothills.
It's what?
I just said you must have had a supercell somewhere in the foothills just let loose all that water at once. I hear there's a dam that's threatening to overflow.
Which one is that?
I didn't catch the name.
I think it's the one leading to Mount Pilgrim.
It's by Mount Pilgrim.
I should probably check it out since I live here, but I don't really watch the news. I just know that all the towns are all wiped out.
The cell phone will get unrequested alerts. Well, severe weather alert, and then next thing you know, your phone's screaming.
So here's the funny thing, okay? So we have this, I'm really going to give away where I live here, but it's okay. We have this, this restaurant called The High Tide, right? And it's a joke because it only opens in the summer, and it's like a seafood. It's a seafood restaurant, and I think Rack knows where I'm going, because I went by and I'm like, look at the high tide has a high tide. All right, I'm gonna put it on the board, and Hatter, if you can take a look at it, and I'll explain it to the listeners and to Rack and Tor. Basically, outside there's a bunch of picnic benches and a playground that's attached to it, and no joke, it's all underwater. The entire the entire establishment, the entire grass part that has the picnic benches, and the entire parking lot. And it's a big space. So better, you can take a look at that on the board.
Yeah, I see
just
it.
A couple of my,
that's a good song by Blondie.
Yeah?
Is there a Nassau Creek that goes through there?
The tide is high?
No! There's not even... Well, there's a big river that runs through the whole town. So, like, right... So there's a river behind it. So the river... So, yeah, so that would be, because that's on my road, and my river would go right up behind it. So if you look in the woods way out back, the river is out back, and that river connects to where I live. It goes right up through town. And I'll show you, probably this is what's flooding it out. So I'll show you where I'm up, like, you know, a minute, 2 minutes up the road, and this is where... Let me see a really good one. This is what I'm looking at. I mean, this tree is about to be completely gone. This poor little tree outside my house. Hold on, let me put this up there. And I'll try to find you a picture of, like, how it normally looks, but it is just insane. We're going to need to find some survival facts to have to do with over flooding, because we're talking about this, and the topic is survival facts. So I think that we're going to have to do that at some point. Come on, it didn't do it.
You're going to need water.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I'm going to need a bigger boat. Okay. So this, I feel like I need to find another picture so that you can really see the difference between where the ground is to this. So that's outside my house right now, on my back porch. And
the
stone arch bridges. Yes, that's my outside. So if I look outside my porch right now, that's the rushing water. I'm high, so I overlook that because I'm on a higher ground. But I'll show you like a normal... I'll show you a normal picture. I'll gather. Yeah, do you see how high it is to the bridge? And I'll show you a normal day for that. But while I'm doing that, so that I'm not trying to find a picture, and let's talk about survival facts, you guys. So I don't know if you guys watched the video or if you listened, but I also asked you guys if you wanted to, you can bring me your own survival facts. So while I'm finding you another picture to try to put that into perspective, tell me about some survival facts that you guys you might know. This is all about how you survive.
Well, I almost got eaten by a bear one night.
Wow.
How you survive a bear attack.
I stayed in the fetal position at the base of a freaking pine tree, and it found me anyway.
So what was the color? Because doing my research, I found out that there are different techniques for different bears. So if it's a brown bear, you're supposed to lay down flat and, you know, just lay down.
Yeah, that's a grizzly bear. A grizzly bear, a brown bear.
And if it's a black bear, you're supposed to be as big as you can and make a lot of noise and actually, like, go to fight back, but never look it in the eyes. I didn't find that the not looking in the eyes was interesting. I felt that because they're the different types of bears, you do different types of things. Like, I would think you would just do whatever to, you know what I mean? But that's not the case, right?
Yeah.
So
Yeah, the brown bear is a coastal bear. A grizzly bear is a sort of a landlocked brown bear. So the same species, only a grizzly is a little bit bigger and has the different tendencies, more aggressive.
Yeah, where I live, we have black bears all over the place. Like one time we had to have school, but they're just sort of babies. They're just, they cause havoc, but they're cute. The worst they really do is steal your bird feeder, you know? It's not like
they ripped the trash apart.
Oh yeah, my friend got their trash ripped apart. So you're right, they do that. But I mean, I feel like they're so common around here that
they try and make bear enclosures and things that bear-proof garbage cans is no such thing. They'll tell you there is, they sell them, but if the bear wants what's in there, it's getting it.
Yeah, my friend was they changed their garbage cans in because they sent me a picture and it was pretty torn up.
Yeah, if you got black bears, they're generally smaller. They don't have the size or the strength like a grizzly would or a big brown bear.
They're just
rip apart, metal containers.
No, they didn't rip them apart. They just carried them. Here we go. Okay, Hatter, so this is, now I'll stop being distracted. So do you see the height of this, of the arch?
Yeah, on the picture you had in there, yeah.
Yeah, you see how, and then you see the second one, how low it is, that's how it normally is. You see the,
refresh.
See the difference of the water level.
Okay. Sure.
So you see what I'm saying?
I was going to ask you how big it was. Wow, that's a lot of water.
So the second picture with the rainbow, that's how normally it is. It's low. It's really low. The ground, and that is up almost to, actually, that water, we have this big brick wall that guards the water from overflowing and coming in to where my apartment building is. I'm on stilts, so it wouldn't really get me. And there's a flood basement, so it wouldn't be so bad. But that water is almost up to the top of the wall that guards it against flooding into the apartment area, like the actual area. So it is almost, a couple more days, and it might overflow, but... Yeah. All right. Enough about the water. What did you learn from the video, Hatter? What you got?
I knew most of the things. Rip current. What to do. It's just remembering what to do when it happens to you.
Huh?
Trying to remember what to do when it's happening to you is a different story.
What I found interesting was also the car temperatures aren't the same. I knew the thing that if you hold on, I have a list. I wrote down notes. I wrote down notes. So some of the things that were talked about was, that is a common one that is like a myth, right? Never suck venom from a bite. I mean, I feel like I wouldn't do that. So have you ever heard that? If someone has a venom bite, you suck out the venom and spit it out?
Is that a myth to not suck it, or that's not a myth?
Oh yeah, you don't want to do that. And you don't want to pee on a jellyfish bite either.
Yeah, that's a myth too. yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was that one was cool. Yeah, and then the myth was always play dead if you're attacked by a bear, and that was a myth, obviously, because we just talked about it, because if it's a black bear, be big and bold.
Try the black bear.
And then, of course, and this is a big one, myth, the fluid in a cactus can save you from dying of thirst. Don't say that. So,
a cactus?
Yeah, the fluid in the cactus will actually make you sick. So don't do that.
Well, except for one. There's a barrel. A barrel cactus. If you can locate one of those. I think you said.
And how do you know the difference? Can you put a picture up on the board?
You.
Well, when you cut
no,
it open,
I'm,
you know the difference.
I'm not gold membership now.
The barrel cactus is literally like a barrel. It's got a water reserve in it, but the other ones are very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't do it. We're gonna save someone's life tonight. Someone's gonna remember something, and we're gonna save their life. Myth, right? Moss grows on the north side of a tree. Whoever's in the loft,
yeah, right.
Do not follow that. That's not true. don't do it.
yeah.
Myth, right? If an animal eats something, it's safe for you to eat. No, it's not. It's not safe. Don't eat it.
vultures have acid in their stomachs. They can eat just about anything.
Myth, right? When you have when somebody's freezing, there's a couple one of these. Don't rub them. And then also, which I didn't know this, is that if you have hyperthermia, it's actually not good to warm very quickly. You're supposed to warm slowly. And I didn't know that.
Yeah, when you get frostbite, you're supposed to be cold water, not hot water.
And I didn't know the hot water, but I didn't know that you were doing your core temperature, dropping your core temperature down too quickly when you have hyperthermia. It's not good. I knew not to put hot water on it. Yeah, so don't do that. Miss Wright, if a shark attacks you, what do? You punch it in the nose?
Yeah. Punch in the nose.
You do not punch it in the nose. You do not punch it in the nose. Your punch ain't going to do nothing. You got to go for the gills or the eyeballs, right? Oh, hey, I learned something, too. You're more likely to get Thai from a coconut falling on your head than you are for shark. It was like a really high percentage, too. I just thought that was interesting. Everybody's worried about the sharks. What are we going to do about the coconuts?
Damn coconuts.
Motorcycle helmets.
So do you guys have any? I said a lot. I have more, but I don't want to be the only one talking, so I would like to give you the opportunity. If you don't, it's okay. But do you have any you want to share? I thought it was fun, and I thought that people could come up with some fun poems that... Hatter, you have a poem, right? Let's do a poem.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Let's do a poem. All right. And then you can tell me why you did the poem. And I think Wayne's going to stop by. I told him that we need to have a poem, How to Survive Camping in the Woods with Wayne. Because he's always killing everybody. Because he's always killing everybody off.
All you got to do is leave a bottle of bourbon on the outside of the tent. He gets distracted right away.
Is that it? Okay, see, those are some life skills that people need to know when they're camping with Wayne, for sure. Because I feel like he just kills everybody off.
he grabs the bourbon and forgets about you.
All right, Hatter, you have the board, you have the mic, and you could tell me a little bit why you wrote it if you want, or do whatever you want to do.
I didn't know how to write to it. to tell you the truth. I thought I had written the night I was almost eaten by a bear, but apparently I didn't. I think it's on a different pad or something. So I just sort of winged it. I watched the video, and this is what I got. Living depends on reading the signs. And it was like this. I watched the candle refuse to burn. He said the gas line was his concern. I heard the ocean ripped in waves. It swears its intentions are people to save. I begged the people to stay away. The fires blew faster on that Christmas day. Ducking a snake bite, chasing with beer. Chasing a beer, sucking a snake bite, keeping it cool, eating snow ice. Laughing can give you a little more time. Living depends on reading the signs. I'm sorry, I screwed that up.
No, it's okay. Yeah, so just so you know how to, I love this, but just so you know also, if you bring me a poem even about like anything that has to do with something inspired, like not necessarily the stuff, I'm okay with that too. I just like to chat about the stuff, and somebody can bring me a poem about a murderer, and you can say, if you want to not get murdered at 3 a.m., don't go out at 3 a.m. So you can bring a second, too, if you have a serial killer poem, and just say, don't go out at 3 a.m. and you won't get killed. It could be that, it could be that away from what was in the video. It's just a fun video to learn something and talk about, really. And then you bring me a poem of your choice, right, that is mildly related to it, just so that, you know, in the future, you don't have to worry about it. And if you have any questions on how you relate my topic to anything, Rack is very good at finding really obscure connections. He's like, peanut butter has nuts and monkeys do too, so it relates. That's probably inappropriate, but that's probably something Rack would say. So I thought this was great. I liked how you put in – you mixed them up, though, so – don't eat the snow. That's not good. People think, I'm going to stay hydrated. I'll eat the snow. And it takes too much energy for your body to melt it, and then you're using all your energy. Yeah, and it's going to make your inner temperature too cold, right? So a double whammy. Yep. So I liked how you kind of went – laughter does – do you want to learn? Want to say what you learned about the laughter? Because you put it in there. Do you remember?
Yeah, laughter.
Do you remember?
One more time. I'm sorry.
Do you remember what they said about the laughter? I don't know if we wanted to share that. I can, but I didn't know if you wanted to.
Yeah. You're healthier. You're just healthier. You live a healthier life, laughing.
Yes.
People that don't laugh tend to. Yeah.
It helps with blood flow. It lowers your blood sugar levels, and it induces relaxation. So, yeah. So what I like about your poem is that it mixes the do's and the don'ts. So someone reading this might go either way. because you didn't say in the poem which ones were good to do. You mix them all together, and I'm like, oh boy, someone's gonna read this, and they're gonna think that knows we should do this. you should do this thing, but
yeah, I sort of wanted it to be that way.
I like it that way. I think it's cool that you did it that way. And I had a question, and now I forgot what. Oh, I also like how you put in the riptide, because it wasn't in there. That if you caught in a riptide, you don't go out or in. You swim across in parallel to the shoreline in a riptide. So I liked how you put that in there too. And I really that's what I wanted to ask you. So I am going to get a comment from Rack. Don't worry, Rack. But I have a question for you, Adam. Because your title was Living Depends on Reading the Signs. So a couple of weeks ago when I first got my new car, it's about a month now, I had this dream. before the flooding started happening here in New Hampshire, I had this dream, and it was really random. The first night I got the car, that the car, hold on, I need to cough. Thank you.
But the car what?
So I had to cough, and it wasn't. The first day I got the car, I had a nightmare that I was driving, and the road was flooded over with water, and my car got swept away, and I got out, and it was just swept away in the river, and then it was underwater, and I was on the phone with 911, like, what do I do? Who do I call? My car is under the river. And then come to find out that now we're all flooding out, but it was before the flooding happened, right? So one of my friends said, come over to my house, and I said, your roads in between our towns are terrible. I can't do that. I had a sign that my car was going to be underwater. I'm not going near any of those roads that could be underwater.
Yeah.
So my question is, yeah. do you believe in, and it was, and then she goes, oh, my God, you did. You told me about that dream. I said, I know. So I'm not driving anywhere. So my question is, do you believe in reading signs?
Absolutely. I mean, how many times did you say, I knew I shouldn't have done this? You know, you had that gut feeling, but you did it anyway. I truly believe in that intuition.
And do you have a time? I don't know. I was just asking questions. Do you have a time that worked out for you?
Yeah. My wife one time called me. I was living in one house. She was living in another. She called me and said my youngest son was sick. So we took him to the doctor. Jesse had never been sick in his life. And all of a sudden, he could barely talk. He couldn't walk. I had to carry him, and he was as big as I was at 12 years old. So I carry him to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, he just got the flu. Take him home. And my wife just had this intuition that said, no, we're going to, and wouldn't admit him to the hospital. We're at the Mercy Hospital, and he won't admit him. So we went down to downtown Sacramento and to check him into a children's hospital. And while I was doing the paperwork, they admitted him, put him up in ICU, and he crashed while he was in the ICU, which saved his life. So my wife's intuition would say, we're not taking him home. Because if he had crashed at home, we would have lost him. But lucky that he was in the ICU. He was in the ICU when he crashed.
That's amazing. I think moms know. My mom did that. I had a cyst. I have like polycystic fibrosis syndrome. And when I was like 12, they started kicking in, and one had burst. They didn't know I didn't know I had that. But they were like they thought it was my appendix. So they said the appendix is fine. We're just going to clean up the cyst and take it. And my mom said take the appendix. And they said, well, we don't really take things that aren't really. So she's like, take it, because you know
yeah.
I had my appendix out. All the women in my family have their. So they did take it. Come to find out, I had pre-appendicitis, and I would have been back in there in 2 weeks with appendicitis as well.
Yeah.
So I think moms
know.
Yeah. All right, Rack, I know that it was a while ago since he read his poem. I'm sorry. What did you think about the poem?
that's all right. You know, there's a lot of do's and don'ts in there. And I just wanted to add that, you know, sometimes it doesn't matter. Even if you do the right thing, you still, you know, pay for it. There's a video out there about a bear attack. Where the guy did the right thing. He curled up in the fetal position, and the bear, you know, he smacked him, and he remembered, like, you know, bear attacks generally just only a couple of seconds, so he didn't fight back or whatever, and, you know, he laid down and, you know, played dead. But the dumb, you know, he did the right thing, but you know, he waited, and then when he looked up to see if the bear was there, the bear saw him look up and came back. So it was like, you know. You dummy! You got away with the 2 second swipe, and then you looked around, and the bear's like, "Oh, I'm not done."
He was like, "Oh, round two."
Ding, ding.
Oh my gosh!
But yeah. So sometimes even if you do everything right, you still don't, you know, get away with it. but, you know, the point
why
of
when
the
you go in the woods. You go in the woods, you carry bear spray. Somebody carry
yes,
bear spray.
That was a survival tip. Thank you, Hatter. That was one of the survival tips, is wear bear spray. And make a lot of noise.
Absolutely.
Because they'll stay away from you if they hear you.
Yes, yes.
And go ahead, Rack, you were saying. Yes.
No, I was done. I was pretty much done. I enjoyed Hatter's poem with all his bits of advice summarizing the video.
Can I tell my bear story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Put some clothes on.
Okay, hold on.
My monkey. I got a little on the edge with my monkey joke. You guys didn't even laugh. You didn't know how to handle it. You're like, oh, Bonnie Jean. Oh, I mean, Sky is being a little crass. Oh, that was just said my name.
Okay, imagine if you will. Now, we're up at a friend of mine's parents' cabin up in Lake Tahoe, and we're outside of Camp Richardson, and we had taken some psychedelics. Okay, so
okay.
So me and my buddy, there's six of us. Me and my best friend Marty, we decided to go out and get some air, you know, a crisp night and everything. So we go outside, and right behind the cabin there's an incline, a little hill, and you can walk up to it. But it was about 2 feet of carpet where all the needles and stuff had stacked up, and it wasn't stacked down. So you made a lot of noise walking through it. So we're walking up into these trees, and all of a sudden we hear this crashing through the needles on the other, sort of coming at us. And I know it's a freaking bear, because there's no way a deer is going to be moving like that at night, and it's something big. So we're sitting there listening to it, and it's confirmed that it's heading our way. I turn to tell Marty, don't run. He, by that time, he's halfway down the hill, halfway to the cabin. And I freeze. I go, oh, God, that bear is going to take off after him. I don't want to be running right into the angle of the bear. So I stay where I'm at. Whatever it was stopped, and I didn't hear the crashing through. Then all of a sudden it started again towards at me. So I can't run. He's going to beat me to the cabin. I said, so I'm just going to stay here. And I got in a fetal position, tried to hide myself under the carpet with the needles and the branches and stuff. And I could hear this thing walk right up to me, and it was sniffing me. And, I mean, you can tell it's a big animal.
What kind of bear? I'm sorry, I might have missed it. What color bear?
What's that? He came up and sniffed me. And I could, right next to my ear. You can tell it's a big animal, you know, so... So I'm making peace with my God. I go, this is it, you know, and what am I going to do? And I pretty much committed to just staying at the base of that tree and playing dead. Then all of a sudden, I notice this thing sits next to me, and he starts panting. I look up, and it's an Irish wolfhound. It's a dog. I swear to God. This was the biggest freaking, and I'm going, my Lord. So I sort of sit up, and he just licks my face and then it just sort of takes off. So I make it down to the cabin, open the door, and I yell at Marty, so you leave me out there? You run? He goes, these guys didn't believe me. He's trying to tell these guys that Hutch is me, is still out there with a bear. So none of them believed us. Marty never saw the animal, so he was questioning what it was when I told my story, and we're all tripping anyway. So early in the morning at dawn, I go out. I'm going to find the tracks of this thing where it went. And about 10 minutes of searching, I see down on the road. Here's a guy walking this huge Irish wolfhound. So I moved my way down, and I talked to him, and he goes, did you let your dog out at night? And he goes, oh, I hope he didn't spook you at all. And I go, oh, no, not at all. his name was Zach, and he was the biggest dog I'd ever seen in my life. It just scared me. I thought I was going to be eaten by a bear. Swear to God.
Oh, my gosh. That makes sense now. I'm like, what kind of bear? I'm like freaking out over here.
Well, you know, when you think about it, what animals are that big to make that much noise? Because you could tell it was a big animal. You got two. You have a deer and a bear. And you know it wasn't no deer.
Oh, my gosh.
So. Yeah, I this guy was blue.
That was a good
day,
story.
When you're running from a bear, you don't have to be the fastest.
You know,
just fast
and
the other guy.
I was the track star. Marty wasn't. He heads down that freaking. I never seen him move so damn fast. You know, I just figured if that bear's going after him, he's got an angle. That if I'm going to run right into him, so I just froze. To do.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't think I've ever had that. I mean, I don't even want to say it because, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to give myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the woods. I'm in the woods an awful lot, and I don't want to be giving myself some bad karma here. So yeah.
Understood.
I was gonna say next time you drive to your friend's house, make sure the windows are down.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I am just, yeah. So I put another picture of so you can see there, Hatter. I put another picture so you could see the, you can really see the difference now in the picture that I put up of the thing. I mean, you can see that guard. So that guard right there, that I wish I had one with the guardrail. That's a wall, and that wall goes really far down, and it's to protect the building, which is my building behind it, and the grounds, and that's really, really high up. So you can see the difference of the. I mean, you can see that it's a mill, right? It's an old 1800 mill. My building used to be a steel wool mill, and. Not steel wool, just wool mill. I don't know. And then, so you could see the gears on the other side, and it's just completely swamped. Like it's insane.
Mill stream.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the. I mean, everybody's posting near me that they're just everybody's underwater. Do you have any survival stories there, Rock and Tour? And do you believe in signs? I mean, mine as well, right?
I think like one of the like the second poem I wrote was front page. It's an angel on my shoulder. It's nothing that I did. It's just I was in a car accident and I walked away. So that kind of a thing. Crap happens, and sometimes it's the not your time, but it's nothing amazing to talk about as far as that I did anything special, but I don't know.
That's completely wrong. That is a hell of a freaking survival story. I mean, I went through it too. No, it's not easy. Any of it. Your life changes in a flash.
It does. I look back and I laugh because the thing that I remember about my accident, I came to after they were in the middle of pulling me out, and there's debris all over the place, there's glass and commotion and everything, and I tried talking to these guys and you were firefighters, so they were so professional, they wouldn't talk, they were just like don't worry sir, just relax, we're gonna get you out of there. When I realized he wouldn't talk to me, I looked down at my leg, and my legs got screwed up, and my pants are all torn and covered in blood and everything. And the thing that I remember most about the accident, when I looked at my leg, and I, oh, shit, I like those pants. That's what I remember. They airlifted me to the hospital, so I don't remember the helicopter ride. I don't remember getting pulled out. I remember looking at my pants and being upset that I ruined my pants.
So, on a much smaller scale, I think it's the shock, because when I fell through a glass table when I was about 18, and when I say fell through, I mean I fell into it, and it braced it. It was so thick. Yeah, it was so thick.
Man.
And so happy it didn't move, and it was against the wall. So when I slammed into it, it stayed in post, and then I cut, and then I slid along the side, right? So it didn't crash. So because I was in shock, I didn't even realize that it happened. And I mean, I was pretty lucky, because a couple inches above, it would have hit my spine, and I would have been paralyzed. So I was really lucky, because if it would have been about like an inch and a half to the side and an inch and a half up, it would have hit my tailbone, hit most of my butt. But what happened was when I looked at the glass, there was no blood. There was just chunks, right, of it was fat, right? But I didn't know what it was, because it looked like scrambled eggs, actually. And I was cooking scrambled eggs, so I thought, I'm like, did I get it on the table? Like, what happened? And I'm holding, and my sister is panicking, and I don't understand why. And then all of a sudden, and I feel wet, and I feel a rip, and I thought I ripped my pants. And my thought was, coincidentally, my thought was, and I said out loud, I just bought these pants, because I thought that I ripped the pants, but it was actually my skin, right? So then when I pulled my hand up and it was covered in blood, I realized that I had cut myself. So my sister is like freaking out. We were next door. She starts calling my mom. I put pressure on it right away, because I knew at that point that you put pressure on it right away. And my mom, who's a hemophobic, I mean severe hemophobic, started to panic when my sister was telling her about the glass. And she hung up on her and called 911. And so I walked next door to my house with this huge cut. And then I was like, you don't need to call the ambulance. Just bring me to the hospital. She ran out of the house when I went into the house on 911. She ran out into the backyard because she panicked, because she can't take the sight of blood. So, and 911's like, you need to go in there. And she's like, no. And the ambulance came. It was a good thing, because they had to put a tourniquet on and they had to make sure I didn't lose. It was a pretty severe cut. And it was like 22 stitches. 22 stitches, five or six of them so deep, because it went right through the muscle. So, I mean, it was pretty rough, but that was my thought, too. We have something in common. We both were worried about our pants, except yours was way more severe, obviously. Now that Deb has heard about our trauma. Hi, Deb.
Yeah, gosh, you got me sitting here cringing.
Yeah. Every nerve in my
How
body
are you?
Right?
Yeah,
mine
so I don't
too.
Have glass tables. No glass tables anywhere near my house at all.
Yeah, agreed. I never allowed them in my house. Never had. Wouldn't allow them, especially with kids.
Yeah. Mm-mm. No, thank you.
My youngest daughter's
question.
Is from a glass table.
Sky, you know, tables are from glasses.
I hear that, Rock. I said my youngest daughter's only scar is actually from a glass table, too. It was a coffee table.
Were you
table.
There?
Huh?
Were you there when
she...
Oh, yeah. We lived in an apartment, and we were hanging out with our friends in the apartment below us. And they had a coffee table, and they had a glass mirror on top of it. And the edge at one point or another got broken, like chipped off. Well, it was mega sharp, and she, like, tripped through it. And, oh, yeah, it was, I would never own a glass table or end table or cocktail table or anything because of it. It was horrifying, and I can't even imagine going through a table, Sky. I'm still cringing from listening to you talk about it.
Well, it didn't break. It didn't go through it. What happened was it braced itself against the wall, and it didn't budge.
Yeah.
So I came in it on the side, split, and then slid along the edge of the table.
That's how the Aztecs killed the prisoners, let them down there.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was rough. I did not enjoy that. And the thing is that I was so calm. I just turned 18, and I said to my sister when she's on the phone, don't tell them to get the ambulance. I don't know if I have insurance. I don't know how that works. And I was just I was worried about the ambulance cost. And then when the ambulance people came in, I was the only calm one. Like, I had to tell my birthday, like, oh, happy birthday, because it was, like, legit a couple days after my birthday. And then I was the only one who was able to talk to anybody, because they said I was in shock. So they said I was in shock. So the second question of the night, Deb. So I have two questions before I put your poem up. Do you believe in signs?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a story about a time that a sign that you listened to saved your life? I mean, if you don't want to share, you don't have to. I've got questions today.
No, I'm just trying to think. Like, sometimes more than a sign, it would be like you walk into some place and there's just this feeling, and you turn, and if you didn't listen to your gut telling you to turn and look, you would have got clobbered by, like, a sliding door. Or, like, one time, I don't know what it was, my grandmother had left, and it was winter, and it was just like, I don't know, I was pregnant with my youngest, and I got this feeling that, you know, something was off. So I went back to the bedroom, which is where a window would be to look out into the driveway. And she was laying in the driveway. And a person had just pulled up and was, like, on their way to the door to tell us about it. And it was just like we turned it to thank the person, and they were, like, magically gone. But, like, I don't know. I just, off the top of my head, I can't think of a sign, but I know that there's been times where I thought I felt off, and if you didn't, like I said, you don't look or hesitate or just stop and take a deep breath, there could have been consequences. I'm big on telling people that, that there'd be a lot less bad things happening. We paid it into our intuition. We too easily shirk it off, you know.
And I mean, you're welcome to tell of a survival story if you want to. You don't have to. Hatter told this wonderful bear story, and I won't have him retell it, but please ask him later because it was hilarious. And I can't tell you because it will give away the story, so I don't want to tell you. But either take a listen to the back to the playback, or have Hatter tell you sometime. And hey, Pee-wee, if you're listening, it's survival facts, but you can just give me any poem and relate it to survival. It could be about a serial killer, and then you say you don't want to be killed by a serial killer, don't go out at 2 a.m. It really could be just that loose. It's really just how you take it. And Deb, before you read, I want you to take a look at the pictures on the board, because I am underwater here. This rain is killing me.
I was going to say. Yeah, I've been seeing the New England states, and across a lot of the southern states, the water's ridiculous, and there's flooding and disaster on the news every single day. And I was going to ask you how you were making out up there, because, like, for example, the last one they showed was Vermont. And
yeah, so I was supposed to be camping in Vermont next week. Next week, you'll notice that there's no topic for me over at Poetic Slice because I was supposed to be camping, and they canceled because the campground flooded. But even over here, all I wanted to do was go kayaking, and everybody's like, well, just take your kayak out on the road. It's washed away our roads. Like big chunks of the road are taken away. Like everywhere you go, you can hardly go anywhere. And if you look out, that's outside my back porch, which I'm sure you know because I think I've shared pictures of outside my porch before. You can see the water level difference between the stone arch bridges. It's just, and that wall is supposed to keep the water in, and it's usually like really far down. And the wall is about to be breached. I don't know if you noticed. But I am glad that my building is on a little bit of a stilt. The basement might get it, but, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no, I think it was a campground that they were showing because, not to quote the book, but a river runs through it. And they showed this spot where it was rising, and then they showed this the turn where you sort of go up to go to this campground. And they were telling people that it was the campground itself was a little bit higher if they could get there. And what caught my attention was it actually made me giggle, although I do feel sorry for the guy, but I noticed that one of the cars that were parked had a weather cover over it. And I was like, well... I don't think it's going to help in this case because the water was up to the side windows and stuff, you know. But yeah, it's
well,
like I said,
we're going to take a chance. Every place is either booked or flooded, and we found a place to go instead, and we're going to take a chance that we're not going to be washed away. It's not underwater yet, but it's not the place that we had planned, which is unfortunate, but. And they have campers. My friends have campers. I own a tent, so I told them my tent starts getting flooded. I'm going in with you guys. All right, Deb. Your poem is on the board. And if you scroll all the way up, by the way, you can see the picnic bench to one of our restaurants here. The lake is coming out to the road. So where I took the picture, I'm right on the road, and the lake that's behind where the woods are is creeping up fast on one of our main roads, so which kind of stinks. I mean, our main road is like in the podunk town of the woods, but so it's not like a main road. But anyway, have fun with those. Tell us what you did and what you learned and whatever you want.
Unmuted.
She's drowning.
I liked the picture that you posted right before Hatter's poem is posted, because there's like a rainbow under the bridge. So signs of good to come.
That's an old one, yeah. I wanted to show Hatter the difference between the water level, what it normally is at. So that's an old one, yeah. I love that picture,
yeah,
too.
It's a phenomenal difference, for one. Like, it's more than halfway up the curve there, but I find that rainbow one pretty fascinating. Did you go looking for the pot of gold?
I get so many rainbows out at that spot where the water is coming in. It's so beautiful. I know, and since I didn't share a side story, I won't feel bad about sharing this one. But and it's a little corny, and you know, I'm not all like, oh, it's a sign. But I'm not like, I believe in signs like intuition and things like you should pay attention. A lot of things are, but I don't know how much. I'm not like the type of person to be like, oh, this person's speaking to me. I'm not too much of that person. I'm not saying that it doesn't. I'm not like a naysayer, but I don't usually express it. But after my aunt died, I just seen rainbows everywhere. And every time I look out onto my porch, there's often a rainbow in that waterfall. And I really love it. It's really nice.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. So I know this sounds weird, but I watch the Weather Channel. because they do have some really cool shows that play while they're running the ticker at the bottom with all the different weather updates. And there's a guy on there that teaches like survival tricks and like how to light a fire with a plastic bottle of water. I had heard a lot of them, so I grabbed one that I didn't know. Like, because sometimes it's very helpful to know how much daylight you have left, because it's not the best idea to be tromping around looking for some wood for a fire at night, because you might meet some critters that are out looking for their food. So I did learn that if you hold your hand up with the palm facing you between the sun, the bottom of the sun, and the horizon line, however many fingers you can fit there, each finger is worth 15 minutes, so if you can hold all 8 fingers between there, you have 2 hours of sunlight left. Who knew? Anyway, this is called After a Car Crash in the Middle of Nowhere. Here we go. Your car crashed into the woods, hitting trees. The thermometer's dropping and lips are blue. Now, daylight is fading and the nights are cold, so first go check the space that's around you. Search for water and then grab firewood, too, seeking pieces to build the shelter as you do. The sun is dropping down in the horizon line. Hold hands with palms to you, fingers straight. Count the fingers between the sun and the land. There are 2 hours if you can count to 8. Without matches or a lighter, there's no fire. Hunt down a broken glass or pieces of slate. Collect rainwater or morning dew with leaves, but do not travel once it grows dark outside. If the animals are out hunting for food, if a stream, lagoon, pond, or lake are spied, slate can sharpen tree branches to go fishing, spearing fish to eat that can be grilled or fried. And poem. Kind of corny, but I rushed it. It's been one of them days.
You had time to go fishing.
Huh?
You rushed it, but you had time to go fishing.
Do we lose Scott?
Yeah, I was on mute. I'm sorry. I was muted. That's the first time I muted myself the whole show, and I forgot. And I was saying, no, don't say that. I said sometimes we could be our own worst critic, and I know that sometimes we're like, this isn't how I want it, and that can be a little bit, but I very much enjoyed it. And I love that you put something – I only knew this because I watched a different video while looking at trying to – I was going to put – I was seeing if I wanted to put another video up there that was maybe shorter because that one was so long, but I did see this, and I just learned this actually yesterday. And the thing I like about – so when I write poems, some of the poems that I write, I'll do – like depending on the – mostly when I was writing like contests, sometimes I would research different things, and then I would write about it. And I – most often, the research took longer than the poem, you know? But if I research something and I learn something, it's much more reinforcing for me to remember of course, the best way to remember something for anybody, period. If you want to remember something that you learned, teach it to the first person you see. Teach it to the next person you see, because you actually remember and learn things better by teaching them. And that's what this does for me. I feel like when I write a poem about information that I learned, I cement that information more into my brain than in any other way, especially because poetry is my language. So I love that for this reason, because you've got these survival skills and you've got this idea, and now anybody who comes across this poem, It's gonna be in a presentation that is appetizing to them because it's poetry, and they're also learning something. And you've made a little story about it. It wasn't just if you do this happens. You actually created this background story, which I liked about it, that creativity. And I think my favorite part of it was the last scene. I really liked the last scene. I collect rainwater, morning dew with leaves, but do not travel once it grows outside, because you're giving that advice. You're saying what to do, but you're doing it in a creative kind of way. And I really appreciated that. I do. Thank you.
Thank you, Sky.
And Sakator, what do you think?
I want to go camping with Deb.
I know, she's got skills. She knows how to, I heard that Deb knows how to make a fire with a plastic bottle. So she's the gal to go with.
She opened with that.
I know, that's why I was being funny. Right, I was thinking. All right, what do you think about Deb's poem?
The poem was great, but you know, you got me wondering if you're like farting in the bottle to try and catch the methane.
Oh my God!
No! You can fill the, if the bottle's not already filled up with water, put some water in it at the stream or whatever. But you just hold the bottle over some dry leaves or grass or something, and let the sun shine through it. And it'll magnify it, just like a magnifying glass would, and start a fire. No farts. Sorry.
Well, that's so all right. You gave us something to reflect on.
Oh, my gosh.
Refracting, not reflecting. Sorry.
The water bottle wasn't actually in the poem.
No.
Hatter, what do you?
But it,
what do you
it
think?
Stole the show.
Oh, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yes, it did. I mean, I don't think so, but I liked the finger thing. And because I learned about it yesterday, and I was looking at some more stuff, and I recently learned a lot of things, and this is going to make me remember that more because I probably would have forgotten it. So now I'm not. Hatter, what do you think about Deb's poem?
I want to go try some of this stuff. I think you could in survival. If you're in the desert, you got to pee in the bottle.
There's no bottle in the poem.
The water. Yes. Peeing in the bottle. Pee is still transparent, so I'm sure if you hold it between the sun and the thing, it'll still light it up. It'll just be yellowed and magnified.
All right.
A beautiful gold.
You boys
got to
focus,
gold, yeah.
All right?
Oh, and Hatter, I just saw a story about how many lakes and rivers and stuff in the U.S. are suddenly producing gold again. So I put an article in your inbox to see if any of those rivers or streams or anything are near you. You can go panning for gold, just saying.
Oh,
I'm sure some of them are. It's probably the Yuba River.
And there were some in, I think the most that made the list were in California, but Guy, you should go check the list because if you Google panning for gold in your area, I'm pretty sure there was at least two or three spots that they are finding gold there too.
I'll try it, but I don't really have time for that.
If you're camping in the woods, why not pan a little while you're there? You could come across the biggest nut there.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay,
That's how it's found.
I'll do it.
I mean, how much is that little tray that you stew it with? A couple bucks? It just might get you a big surprise.
I'm gonna look that up now. I'm going to look it up.
Good.
Deb, thank you so much for your poem. I really enjoyed it. Thank you. The boys really enjoyed the plastic bottle story. Thanks for that, too. The men. And I do want to give you the opportunity, and actually now is a good time for everybody to plug everything. So if you want to lead us into that, Deb, that would be great.
Okay, tomorrow night at 9, Crystal Hope, is back, and she's doing a show on road trips. So if you've been on a road trip, she wants to hear about it. I am not totally sure what Sweet show is about this week, so keep an eye out on the topic board. Friday is open poetry at 10 p.m. with Liquid Damage, a.k.a. Linda. And Saturday, Hatter's taking us on a trip with some puppies.
Puppies.
And I got to go. I'm sorry. Love and respect you guys.
No, I mean, I talk to you a lot. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Bracket tour, I have two questions for you. None of them involve a plastic bottle, okay? All right, question number one. Can I put down your angel on my shoulder poem since we talked about it? And do you want to share that one?
Yeah.
You can say no.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna go find that. And can you talk about your show? Even if you don't know the topic, just tell what time it is, where it is, what, you know, just whatever you want to share.
It's the last Tuesday event. It's going to be at probably 10 o'clock instead of 11. And again, I'm not sure what topic. I'm actually kind of leaning towards a Shakespeare quote. I just have to find the right one that I was thinking of.
Iraq.
Yeah.
You broke bad at the beginning. Tell what day again?
But the last Tuesday of the month is off the rack. It's probably going to be 10 instead of 11. You know, the time is listed, but I'm going to probably move it up to 10. And, you know, I don't have a set topic yet.
We'll watch the board.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love Shakespearean quotes. They're good. You can go a lot of way. You're going to hook Stephen with that. He loves Hamlet. Stephen loves Hamlet. Not that you have to go with Hamlet, but just saying. Yeah.
Macbeth.
Oh, yeah.
Even 76? What's that?
Stephen 76 loves Hamlet, but I really love Macbeth. So, yeah. Yeah.
Macbeth is a tragic story, isn't it?
Yeah, they're all
the plays.
They are.
It's called a tragedy, you know? That's what they're called.
Yeah,
tragedy.
That's right. That's what I heard that.
The play is the thing.
Okay. Okay, time out. He's so funny. Okay. At the topic board is up at the top. I mean, you can put it on the board, Pee-wee. I don't mind. But just so you know, my topic board, it's on the under topics, and it says down the tube, really random stuff with the guy. But you could leave it on the board. But I am going to have I'm going to do rack twist. Now, I heard a little birdie told me once that a lot of your sound clouds are in the studio, so I am going to try that, but while I'm doing that, I'm going to try to do two things at once. So, bear with me. I don't always do a good job at it. This Thursday night at 8 p.m. over at A Poetic Slice of Life, we are doing, what are we doing? We are doing Christmas in July, and I am celebrating the Christmas special Guardians of the Galaxy, which I really just think is an awesome movie. And every time they say Kevin Bacon, I just want to die. I just think it's so hilarious. And if you Kevin Bacon, basically the plot line of this 50-minute film is they kidnap Kevin Bacon as a Christmas present and there's music, and it's fun. It's really, really fun. Oh, you don't have a SoundCloud to this one, so I'll read it for you. It's just really, really fun, and the songs in it are hilarious. So you could either write to any of the themes, scenes, characters, quotes, of course. So you could bring me anything Guardians of the Galaxy related, even if you haven't seen the Christmas special. You could also write to the themes. And don't forget that Guardians of the Galaxy has the word galaxy in it. So if your poem has to do with a galaxy, that's okay too. It could be really that. I'm sorry?
Is there any Dennis Leary in it?
No. There's no Dennis Leary. Dennis Leary. Oh my gosh. What was that thing he. King Price has done. Wasn't that Dennis Leary?
Oh no.
And then he did, Dennis Leary did, he goes, I'm a people, right? He sings that song.
I'm an asshole.
Oh, can you say that? I don't know if you can, I didn't know if you could say that, Adam, but you're a board member, so you do you. But yes, that song, that's what I think about when I think about, there's no Dennis Leary, it's Kevin Bacon sings. And they have this other song, so you can bring me anything to do with the Guardians of the Galaxy. You can bring me any Christmas poem, because it is Christmas in July. It is a Christmas film, so even if you bring me a Christmas poem, that's okay, too. That's on topic. You can also bring me a parody, a Christmas song parody. I love parodies. So you really just bring me a poem and we'll have fun with it. It's on at 8 p.m.
Okay.
on Poetic Sites on Thursday. And just so you know, Poetic Inklings is also on tomorrow, and they are doing this wonderful artist, and let me go back to it. It's also Christmas in July themed, because over at Poetic Slice, we just love Christmas in July. It's on at 7 p.m., so it's a little early, so make sure you get do that. Make sure you put that in your calendar. And it is Lisa Aisato, and I hope I said that right. And it's the Artist of the Year. There's some really beautiful pictures. Really beautiful pictures, so go check that out. And what were you saying, Hatter? I feel like you were saying something, and then I was...
No.
Oh, okay. You were just talking about Dennis Leary. Remember that firefighter show he was on?
Yeah.
I never watched that. Rescue Me?
Something like that.
Yeah.
He was in a feud with another comedian, too, about stealing his act. That's another story.
Yeah. But no Dennis Leary, it's Kevin Bacon. So in Rack's world, if you have a poem about bacon, it's relatable.
if you consider Dennis Leary to be a pig, pigs make bacon, so there you go.
So Rack can connect anything to a topic. And for me, I don't really care what poem, like I care what poem you've been, but I really don't care how loosely related you bring it to the topic, as long as you're willing to enjoy the topic and talk about the topic itself, you know. If you're like, this is vaguely, remotely related somehow, I honestly don't care. Because I love poetry and I... Yeah, what?
Do you play, what is it, 6 Degrees Kevin Bacon or something? What is that?
That's a game.
I haven't played that, no. Oh, my gosh, we should bring Kevin Bacon back. Oh, my gosh. Kevin Bacon. It's really funny. If you have a chance to see the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special, I highly recommend it. I just thought it was just so cute and wonderful. I really enjoyed it.
I saw the whole
all right, so,
one of the whole series of that flying over the Pacific for 14 hours. That's what I got to watch on the plane.
They just came.
I never watched it.
They just came out with 3, Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So that one just came out. So if you've seen 1 and 2, if you've seen Volume 1 and 2, then you're going to have to see Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Oh, okay.
I think Chris Pratt is so funny. I seen an interview he did with, oh my gosh, who did he do the interview with? Now I'm not going to remember. Oh, Jeff Goldblum. He did an interview with Jeff Goldblum because they were in the new Jurassic World movie together, because Jeff Goldblum came back, and they had an interview, and they were just so wonderful together. It was such a fun interview, and they just seem like they have a really lot of fun with each other, and I think that when you capture that, I think it's just wonderful. Anyway, Angel on My Shoulder. So this is by Raconteur. I'm going to read. Do you want me, or Hatter, do you like to read?
I screw it all up.
Okay, all right, I'll read. Let me just check my studio before I read. Okay, so this is called, and I gotta get my rack voice. He's really slow and mellow kind of reader, so I gotta get my rack voice on. I'll try to do my best. This is called Angel on My Shoulder by Raconteur. Divorce, unemployment, diabetes, going blind, debilitating accident and foreclosure. I survived all that shit combined. Sink into despair? Not a decision I'm ready to make. Whatever throws at me, damn it, I refuse to break. I will wake up in the morning and thank God I'm alive, blessed with the strength to keep smiling and the will to survive. I love it. That's like my fight song. Not like my fight song, but like that song. This is my fight song, right? I loved it. I thought, this isn't even in the Hurt Locker, but sometimes when you get hit, it feels like you're getting pummeled, right? It's like not just one blow. It seems like they all come at you at once, and they just try to drown you. And, I mean, not to say that, you know, there aren't moments that people or even I do sink into despair. But I think on some level it is a decision, you know. I mean, you make those decisions every day when you wake up through that and you decide to put clean clothes on, right? You put your pants on and you go outside. And that may not seem like a big deal. Right? That may not seem like a big deal to get in the shower and to take a shower and get ready and face life again. But at times, it could be the biggest thing. It could be a mountain to just do, even to get out of bed. And I think that this was empowering when you say, I'm not going to let this break me. You know, damn it, I refuse to break. I am going to thank God that I'm alive. And I'm going to find the will to survive, exactly your words that you wrote in your poem. And I think that is a powerful, and I say message, but it is a powerful message, but it is an empowering story, I would say, of survival and tragedy, really. Really, tragedy and survival. Really well done. Thank you for letting me share this one, Raconteur. And Hatter, what do you think of his poem?
Yeah, I can relate. I can relate to the whole thing. Easy to fall into depression, you know, and you just have to decide who's gonna win. You know, that's all it is. You gotta keep on.
This is Star Wars Connect. Do or do not. There is no try. You either roll over and die, or you get up.
Yeah, there's no second shot either.
Hmm.
And you learn there's not very many people you can depend on, you know.
You know, somebody said that to me today, and I understand that perspective. And I do understand the perspective. Someone said something kind of like that to me. But I really wish that people didn't think that. Let me explain my story. I could put it this way.
It's too heavy for some people.
Yeah, but I mean, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that it's sad that that's true. Let me rephrase what I said. I'm not saying I'm upset that you feel that way. I'm upset that it's true, that there's a truth in that, in experience, you know. And what I was going to say, like, I had to go to the building I'm in. There's no laundry facility. Well, there is, but I'm not going there. And I usually do my laundry at my friend's house, but I had so much to do today, and I've been so busy that I just couldn't take the time to go to my friend's house and wait. So I went to the laundromat in town, and I don't usually go there, so I don't really know the time, because you got to put the quarters in to the dryer, right? And you got to wait, and you got to put the quarters in, and then you got to do the dryer. So I was so busy that I had to, like, put the quarters in and then leave and then go do something at my house and unload my car and then come back. And I overestimated the time. So when I pulled in, this guy pulled in next to me, and he was cranking hippie music, real hippie music. He was an older guy, and he had the hippie bandana on his head, and he had the long hair. It was really out of this world. And he was very nice, and I got out of my car, and I was like, oh, hey, hi, because he had his windows down, and I got out of the car, and we were staring at each other. So I just said, oh, hi, and he goes, hi, and then I go in. And I realized that my clothes are dry, and I have 22 minutes left on my dryer, right? What am I going to do, sit there and wait until they're extra dry? No, I pulled out my clothes, and then the guy came in, and I'm looking around to see who has the washer that's there so I could tell them to go use my dryer. So I've seen the guy pulling. I said, oh, hey, you pulling your clothes out of the dryer? And the guy's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I just pulled my clothes out, and I have 22 minutes left, and I don't need it. I overestimated. So, you know, you should grab the dryer. And then he said to me, he goes, that's really nice of you. Not many people do kind things anymore or nice things. And I wanted to be like, well, there's a lot of kind people in this world. I was being argumentative, but I didn't want to be argumentative. But really, that's his experience, that a lot of people have not been kind to him.
Yeah.
And I said, to say that's really sad. And I was like, well, I'm not gonna use it. And if you can benefit from it, then, you know, that's good for you, right?
Yeah, made somebody's day.
All right, I'm going to read Pee Wee Cuson. And Pee Wee, I know that you can't call, but if you want to, I'm going to read Tuesday. And if you want to write a message on the board, I'll read it after. I might be able to see how I survive right in it, or you can save your little fact of survival, even if it's, you know, your little anything that you want to relate to surviving, it's fine. And we can share that with that too. So this is A Tuesday by Pee Wee Cuson. Then I was gone, just as quickly as all of these problems here in the world of man came on. Phased out and through floating above, whisper on the breeze, any place or time I thought of. I folded myself into the fabric of our very being. So delicately, thin-skinned, the mask wears our reality. From inside the veil of all and nothing at once, I was granted visions, different lives and times, different realities. Clear, I jumped back to convulsing as if my body had just dropped into itself from a mile up, needle in a chest, track marks on my arm. Oh, I know how this. End poems. Okay. All right. So I have a lot to say about this. So obviously we're talking addiction. We're talking survival. And probably maybe Narcan, I believe. First of all, you know, I hope your journey is going well with this and your survival of this is going well. I'm going to pop over the boards to see. It is very self-evident. Thank you, Pee Wee. And Adam, this one hits home for me. There are some people that I've had a lot of experience with addiction and, you know, ODs, not with myself, but with people around me. And, of course, my father OD'd with a needle in his arm. So I realized that this is a very real thing for people. And that time was actually adrenaline. Okay. Well, the way that it's kind of written, it makes me think of all those things and how it is so easy to judge other people's lives, you know, and to say, well, this, that, and this. And it's different when you're in it, of course. And your poem was very vivid in its delivery. And I thought the last line, drop, was very effective. There's different ways you could take it. Maybe through my experience, I took it that way. Clear, because they're using the booster things, right? Yeah, I think this was the paddle. Thank you, the booster. I don't know where I got that thing. I thought this was just brilliant. I really liked the way you put it. I liked the way that it was like a first-hand perspective. When you kind of start, I didn't really know where you were going. Then I was gone. You start right in the middle of it, and there's no predecedent. You know, you just start, then I was gone. That's it. And I love the way that you started it, because I was a little confused at first as to what was happening. But by the end, it came, like, it, every line made it clear or clearer. And I think because of the way you set that up, the last line is so much more effective. I really think that was a brilliant way to go and a way to the poem concept. Really well done. And thank you. And Raconteur, what did you think?
Yeah, when you're constructing a poem like that, and exactly what you're talking about comes to mind for me, you think of the experience. He's starting out, he's groggy, and you know, he's in the middle of this, you know, heart attack or whatever happened to him, and then he's coming to, and that's what the poem's doing. It's like he's coming through and he's groggy, and like you said, first person perspective, and then it gets clearer and clearer and clearer. So that emphasizes the question of what he's thinking on top of that he's telling. So yeah, that's very clever.
Thank you, Rack. Excellent comment. And I just want to say, Pee-wee, congratulations. It is not by any means an easy journey, and I know that, that congratulations. Absolutely. And Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, it's very, very personal. It tells the whole story. And the reality of it, I just lost the words. This is very well written.
Yeah. I think when you say it's very personal, I think it is so – it's not easy putting yourself out there and putting your truth out there and putting your experience out there and being right and all – you know, naked to the world and just bearing yourself and bearing your experience. And I just commend people that are able, that can do that and through poetry. And because, you know, people don't write things, when they write something, they're not thinking, oh, I'm writing this. Most of the time, people aren't writing something. I'm writing this, and it's going to connect to somebody, and somebody's going to be able to connect to it. I mean, we hope that our poetry connects to people, but when we're writing, a lot of time, it's purging, right? It's just sharing our experience. And I don't think sometimes people realize how much their poetry or their experience, when they're honest like that, does affect people and does touch people in a way that they may not even be able to, you know, really see the wealth of it, right, in its entirety. So, I commend people that are able and willing to share themselves like that. Really well done. Thank you. I think that was an excellent piece on survival. Really well done. Thank you. I'm glad you were able to stop by, Pee-wee. And if you have a show, Pee-wee, I know, like, I heard, I don't know if it was you who was doing shows on somewhere. I can't remember. But if it was you, just write it on the board, and I will plug that for you. But it might not be you. I knew it was somebody doing shows somewhere, and I can't remember. All right, we have got, I just want to do this last poem because I don't want it to be too late before we read it. And sometimes we get talking. And, yeah, and that's okay, and that's fine, and I love our talk. But I want to drop this one before we go anyway. Oh, okay. Yeah, you get the info, and I will plug it. So, yeah, so let me read this poem. And we'll make comments, and then you'll have the stuff, and then we'll plug the show for you. Okay, let's see. Rooster. Oh, my gosh, he's so brilliant. I should have pre-read this, though. I hope it's I hope it's not too. Oh, it's a comedy. Okay, this is fun. All right, so I love Rooster. I just love him. I follow him, too, on SoundCloud, and his reading voice is brilliant. Of course, he's Scottish or Irish or something over there. I'm sorry if I offended you, sir, but he's one of those. I think I want to say Scottish. Isn't he Scottish? Or is he Irish?
To me, that's always an Irish brogue. So you know, I'm probably
Irish.
I'm like you
Is Irish or Scottish? Irish. Okay. All right. Whatever he is, he has a wonderful reading voice, and I think you might be right. I think Irish. He's just so funny and so wonderful and endearing. And I caught him a couple times on the shows. Not a lot, but I caught him a couple times, and he's so respectful and kind and generous. And I love Rooster. Just saying. Side note.
Rooster's a good guy. You talk about Cogburn,
yeah.
Rooster Cogburn. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I believe he is Irish, and if we got that wrong, we apologize. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe he can set us right. But I just, absolutely brilliant.
I'm almost sure that if you look on the golf page, it's right there in front of you.
Yeah, like, why don't we do that? We'll go to his main page. We'll just stalk him. Hold on.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, so quick thinking. Doris, oh, this isn't Rooster. Rooster, Doris A. Wright, future lies before you. Oh, no, this might be different, right? Oh, no, this is just his quote. The future lies before you like a field of fallen snow. Be careful how you tread, for even step will show. Oh, he just has a thing on there.
Okay. I would have lost that bet.
Yeah. I don't think this is the same. No, it is, because I'm following him. Yeah, there's no information. It's okay. That's just Weeks' poem here. So, threadbare.
Oh.
The rich man I knew, wealthy was he, made a fortune selling color TVs. Last time we met him, said I, hey, Jimmy, you happy you made it? No, says he, back at me, need to sell. More television sets keep on turning, £1 into two and then three. Hottie Henrietta, a former sweetheart, lover once asked her to be my bride, said he. Nah, not happening, bigger fish to fry. Goodbye, I'm not one to backslide. This world is overflowing with people like these, locked in syndrome. They run inside a wheel, ever searching, never finding fulfillment. Their lives a movie projector with a blank film reel. Excellent. I'd like the story. And I liked the dialogue in it. I don't see a lot of dialogue in poetry. I'm sure there is lots of it, but it's like storytelling. I enjoyed the dialogue. I really, really enjoyed that because I thought it boosted the little bit of sarcasm and sass, and I liked the haughty Henrietta. I thought that was also brilliant as well. And, yeah, I think, I think when genuine people, I feel, can sense other genuine people. And then when you have someone that is genuine, that meets someone who is ingenuine, I feel like there's a vibe. There's a vibe that you can kind of feel, and you're like, well, are they really doing this? Are they really doing this out of generosity, or and because they're genuine, or are they doing it for a show, right? So I feel like this is very, very true. And I could agree with it, and I thought it was fun, and like I said, I thought it was just really well written. Rack, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, it reminds you that, you know, every day is kind of a feat of survival. You know, you could choose to give in to the monotony, to the hamster wheel, or you can choose to, you know, survive it. And obviously he's talking about, you know, being above that and surviving, and I really enjoyed that. You know, like you mentioned his sense of humor. Yeah, I've always enjoyed his sense of humor. He's good. You know, I like what he writes, and he includes dialogue. I mean, he's just got a way about him, very professional and polished.
Excellent comment, thank you. And Hatter?
Yeah, I like the this world overflowing with people like this, Lockett syndrome. Yeah, what a great line.
Yes.
The masses never found the dream, you know. Well done.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Rooster. I appreciate you dropping and sharing your talent with us. All right. Deb sent me some rivers in New Hampshire. She's committed. She's committed to making me rich. Thank you, Deb. If you're listening, I appreciate your commitment to make me rich. So, I mean, I could use it, right?
What?
You buy more dryer time. You could buy more dryer time.
I don't really go to that. So my friend's so nice. You know, I lived with them for 13 years. And I just go over their house. I have a key to their house, right? So I don't even knock. I just still go in there like I live there. And I do my laundry there. They're very kind to let me do my laundry there. So I don't normally go to the laundromat, except when I'm extremely pressed for time. And like I said, I was out all morning. I was out all afternoon. And then I got home just in time to go to karate class, and then I got home just in time to get on the show. So my days have been booked. I mean, really, really booked. I thought, oh, summer's coming, I'll have more time. I never have more time. I'm always like, oh, I'll do this too, I'll have more time. My time gets filled. Do you ever feel that way? I always say that, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a lot of time in the summer. It's just booked. It's all booked.
Too much time in my hands.
Yeah, I know. All right, so we've got like 12 minutes. So there was a couple things that I thought was cool. I don't know why this is a survival tip on this video, but it talked about blue light, and I know that, and lack of sleep, I guess, could be very detrimental to your health. And I know. So, you know, stay away from the screens when you're going to bed, because it works against the melatonin in your body. I have a cool thing on my phone. It's a blue light shield, and it shields the blue light. I actually have that on all the time. I don't even shut it off. I just leave it. And I don't know if it works or not, but it's pretty cool. There was some cool stuff in here. I did know this one. If your feces have a coffee ground like texture or look to it, you could have a GI problem. So let's not do that. And then what are things? Three needs, right? Things come in threes. You can go 3 minutes without air, typically 3 hours in extreme weather, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks with no food. And I that's really interesting. 3 weeks with no food. Anybody
unless,
can jump in at any time. That's fine.
Unless
huh?
you fill your refrigerator.
Unless you what?
Unless you fill your refrigerator. And you're going to have to go 3 weeks with no
true.
Food.
That's right. And I was good today. You'd be so proud of me, Rack, today for shopping. And not only did I go shopping, I went into like so many different stores. And my friend, you know, I love her. I love her to death, but she loves to shop. And she knows never to ask me because she knows that I will have like a hyperventilation. I don't want to go. I just, honestly, a lot of times when she's like, can we stop at a store? She lets me sit in the car. And I'm like, yeah, go have fun. I'll wait in the car. Like, I don't want to come see that.
I'll crack the window. I'll crack the window.
So when I told her, I said, listen, I really need to get out to, because, you know, we have a larger city, the capital, actually, of New Hampshire, right? It's Concord. It's the capital. So I said, I actually really have to go out to there and do some things. And then her eyes, I've never seen her eyes light up. She's like, oh, so much. She's like, wait a minute, hold on. You want to go shopping with me? I'm like, well, I really have to. There's a couple things I need. I need to get new shoes and some new undergarments, and I need to go, and I really should get food. And she was like, yeah, we can make a whole day. And she was so excited. And we did, and I went to a lot of stores. You'd be so proud of me. Yeah, Pee-wee said he knows the feeling. He laid 3 pallets of sod by noon today, then hay wagons to unload along with yard work at home. Oh, but you're probably going to get a good tan, I mean, and some good muscles there. So all that loading. Okay. Does anybody have any more survival facts that they want to share before I start to wrap it up here? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. We need to plug for – did he put his information? Here we go. Yes, we did. Good thing I remembered. Okay, so over on LCN, Pee Wee Q Song will have open poetry on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So go hang out with Pee Wee. I don't think I've ever heard him – live, so that will be fun. I mean, besides his SoundCloud, I've never heard him live on the show, so that would be fun. What were you gonna say,
No, I was gonna say it sounds awesome. There was a show scheduled, I think, this Sunday, that it never happened. Not with him or anyone specific. It's just if you call – sometimes because, you know, I can't see the board or anything, I'll call Blog Talk and I'll say the next show is in 2 hours. Or the next show, I'm like, oh, okay. So that's how I know if they're going to have a show or not. And I called up the other night and it said there was a show on Sunday and then there was never a show. So.
Okay, well, I think he's going to be on this Sunday. So call over this Sunday. I can't call Sunday. I'm sorry. I do doubles now for the summer because school's out for the summer. And I do doubles now on Saturday and Sunday. So I work 7 a.m. till 11 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. So I will not be able to call, but I wish you the best. And, yeah. So, yeah, well, I'm not going to go there. So, yeah, so I talked about Queens. I talked about CCR. I love when people are interactive with the board. I remember when sometimes if everybody's asleep at night and I was at my other job and I'm just sitting there waiting, sometimes it was fun to listen, or if I couldn't actively call a show for some reason, like sometimes I would have my goddaughter over and I didn't want to wake her up and I would talk on the board. I think it's so much better when people are interacting, you know, the hosts are interacting with people on the board too. That's also, so I love that you're, Yeah, participating. Yeah, they do how they can. So, Pee Wee, I appreciate you is basically what I'm saying. And on that note, I do want to say my thank yous because we have 6 minutes left. I want to thank, and I have to try to remember, but Rack is my memory, so if I miss anybody, Rack, please tell me, but give me a chance first. Okay, so I want to thank, of course, Rack and Tor for being here the whole time and for calling and conversation. Hatter for calling in the whole time, too, and wonderful conversation and stories and poetry and fun facts. And I want to thank Deborah Lee, of course, for all the above, and Pee Wee for putting in a poem and chatting us up on the board and keeping us company and sharing with us. And then, of course, Rooster for putting in a poem and making us all chuckle, but think deeply. So, yeah, it's been fun, guys. And I'm making a commitment to you all to get my topic up this week for next month. So hold me to my commitment. And I used to be so good at it, too, right? I used to, the moment I would have the next show ready before, well, the show, and I would talk about it, right, on the show. So I need to get back into that good vibe that I had. So stay tuned. I will see you next month, the second Tuesday of every month here at A Team of Voices. I do a little guest hosting. So I'll see you then. I'm going to press play. I'm going to press play for the music, and we're going to jam it out. You can sing along. You can mute yourself. You could do whatever you want. It is CCR. It's not as bouncy, but it's still wonderful. Thank you, guys. And let's. Oh, I'm not ready actually.
I never seen the. Is it? I never seen the rain.
It is. How did you know? Well, because there's so much rain here. I thought it was appropriate.
I love that song.
You know, I feel. Yeah, I was thinking when I was like the upbeat in the beginning, and then I was like, well, I might as well close with them too, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, how perfect is Have You Ever Seen the Rain? Because I've seen a lot of it the last couple weeks. All right, thank you, Rack. Keep your phone on because I am going to give you a call after the show ends. I mean, if you're available, and yeah, so here we go, Creedence Clearwater. Let's do it.
splash. I was taking a bath.
All about a Saturday night. All right, good night.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Goodbye.